That if you really believe, if you really believe that the Bible is infallible and inerrant and inspired, if you really believe that, then every time it's read aloud, you've heard the voice of God audibly. I heard that said, that every time somebody reads the word, that you have heard God speak audibly, if you really believe, if it is so, that his word is inerrant, inspired, and infallible. I believe it is inerrant, infallible, inspired. Amen. I just never thought about it like that. So when I read you a bunch of verses tonight, I hope that you would cherish it and treasure it that way tonight, as if you're hearing the voice of God speak audibly, because it is his word. It is his word. We do a lot of things as church folk, and I ain't saying it's necessarily wrong, but I am saying it could be a little more right. We choose a lot of terminology that is more traditional and been passed down, and we adopt it and use it, and we let culture and tradition begin to establish the framework of how we reference God and reference church, and that's not always bad. But what is always better is if you let the Word of God shape your thinking and establish the framework of the terminology that you would use. And just like this, you heard it said, we call ourselves Christians, and that's fine, but and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. We are Christians if we've been saved, but even that term's not in the Bible, Christian. I want to just use a phrase that is in the Bible, and it is in there a lot, and it might be a better way to reference who we are that's been saved. And that is simply this: in Christ. You don't ever hear anybody say, talk about what you are, define themselves as, well, I'm in Christ Jesus. We'll say, I'm a Christian, or I'm a believer, or this or that. But I think a more biblical way would be to say, when you're asked, I'm in Christ Jesus. First of all, it opens the door to what that means. And when you read the Bible, I'm not even tonight going to read. I probably give Brandy, what, 40 verses? Maybe, I'm just guessing. Did I give you that many? We'll see. There's several. And I didn't even write down every reference to in Christ that's just in the New Testament. But as believers, that's who we are. As Christians, that's what it means. We are in Christ Jesus. It don't just mean that I am Christ-like. Let me say it like this. If Christian means I am Christ-like, I'm only Christ-like because I'm in Christ. I would not be Christ-like if I was not in Christ. I would not be saved if I was not in Christ. I would not be redeemed if I was not in Christ. I think in Christ is the umbrella in which every term in which you could refer to yourself as a believer, is which it would fall, in Christ. And I'm just going to show you that tonight. I'm just going to let the Bible, I'm going to let God preach it himself tonight. I just want to walk you through some scriptures, okay? And then we're going to read them together. I don't even can explain them all, but I can tell you this, they're beautiful. I can tell you that. I may not understand the meaning of every verse I read you tonight, but I can tell you this, they are awesome. So let's just marvel together for a few minutes that we are in Christ. Can we do that? And then next Wednesday, I'm going to look at the phrase of Christ in me. But I felt like it would be better to start off in Christ. I'm going to look at Galatians. I didn't even give you this, Brandy. Galatians 3, verse 26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." If you are a child of God, it's because you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then you are not a child of God. Church, you're living in the day of universalism. It is resurging, and it is getting popular in America, okay? There's evangelical churches that's preaching universalism. that because Jesus died on the cross, everybody goes to heaven. Everybody, just everybody, that we are all children of God. We're all children of God because Jesus died for our sins. That everybody, you don't even require faith. It don't even require grace. It's just that he died for it. So everybody goes to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. Universalism. Universalism. But you're not a child of God if you're not in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are a child of God. Verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Do you understand? That is your greatest identity. You hear that? And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. So, me being in Christ means that I am possessed by Christ. I am owned by Christ. That's what Galatians says, right? If you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. And it starts off by saying that we are children by faith in Christ Jesus. And because we are in him, we're children. Because we are in him, we have put on Christ. And because we are in him, then our identity is that we put on Christ. This is not male. You're not male, not female, not Jew, not Gentile. In him, when you are in Christ, you've put on Christ. That means when we are in him, how does the Father see us? He sees Christ, right? He sees Christ. When we are in Christ, when we are hidden, and Colossians make reference to being hidden in him, to being tucked away in Christ, we are in him. So I just want you to begin to say, we're going to read some verses, and then we're going to pray. Let's start with Ephesians 1:4. I'm not going to explain this, all right, because I can't. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Who hath saved us, this is 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I will stop and say this, that being in him, and I don't even understand all this, but it goes beyond the parameters of time. In him is not limited by time. It is eternal. I don't know what all that means, okay? But I know that in Christ is my greatest identity. Y'all see a man standing up here, right? He says you're neither male nor female in Christ. You're children of God when you're in Christ. When you're in him, you put on Christ. We're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, right? I don't even know what that means, but I know this, it is absolutely beautiful. I know that when God wrote that, it was meant for you to be blown away when you read it. Now, I realize everybody in the world wants to argue it. God never intended for this to be argued by theologians and by scholars. He never meant for that to be the outcome of this verse, nor will it be here. What it will be is we'll read it in such a way that we will understand just how much God is for us. Before the foundations of the world, those who are in him now, he says, was in him then, before the foundation of the world. I can't explain it. It goes beyond what my mind can comprehend. In him. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. In his Son. If you have eternal life, it's only because you are in him. If you're not in Christ, you don't have eternal life. 2 Timothy 1:1. I probably need to hurry because how many have we looked at? We won't count them all, but I'm like 4% done. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. I want to go ahead and tell you, the outcome of all these verses is supposed to make you value your Jesus even more than what you did when you walked in here this evening. Okay? That's the purpose of this tonight. 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Great. Go back to that. I'm sorry. Can you not go back? Grace, faith, and love is in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Abundant grace with faith, accompanied with faith, accompanied with love, and that is in Christ Jesus. This ought to make you want to share the gospel to a lost and dying world, because lost folks, if they're going to know love, faith, and grace, that is, the environment is in Christ Jesus, in Him, grace, faith, and love. And this is not the only time it says that. Look at 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling Timothy that in Christ Jesus is faith, grace, and love in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In Christ Jesus. If you start paying attention when you read the New Testament, you can't read a chapter, you can't read a page without finding this multiple times. In whom are hid all the treasures of... Now, the last word of verse 2 is Christ, with like a maybe a colon or a semicolon, Christ. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ Jesus is where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is. In Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:10. Is that where we got to? No, where are we at? Oh, yeah, we done did say, okay. 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In Christ Jesus. Let's keep going. There's so many. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free. Wrong reference. Go to the next one, Ephesians 1:3. I give you a wrong one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Him. In Him. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places is in Christ Jesus, and that's where you and I are. In Him. And it's, of course, it's going to go on to say that we're seated at the right hand of the Father with Him. It's going to go on to say that in Ephesians. But next week I'll look at Christ in me. Then we'll look at the phrase with Christ. There's about four different phrases that just defines our relationship with Him. And it is loaded. It is loaded. Countless verses that centers on the relationship of you and I with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, or Christ Jesus in me. Hundreds of verses in the New Testament. And this is why we emphasize a relationship with Jesus, right? Because everything good is in Him. Everything good is in Him. And yet, at the same time, many times the church, we're defined by an environment in this world. A lot of times, the way we react, our emotions, our disposition, so many times is dictated by what circumstance I'm in, or what situation I'm in, or what crazy world I'm living in, or what problem I'm in, instead of who I'm in. If all this is in him and I am in him, why does that not dictate and influence me more than any circumstance, any situation, or anything going on in this government, or anything going on in my body, or anything in this world? If all this is true of Jesus and all this good that is in him and I'm in him, why is that not the greatest influence regarding the way I carry myself, my disposition, my feelings, etc., etc.? Let's go to the next verse. Where do we get to? Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ. We are his workmanship, created in him. I'm created in him. Okay, unto good works. I'm created in him to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In them. Those who are in him will do good works. If you are not in him, you will not do good works. But if you are in him, it is impossible to reside in him and not do good works. Somebody say amen. Thank you. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation in Jesus. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. Next verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Christ Jesus, I am the righteousness of God. Again, I don't know what all that means. I can't explain how that come to be exactly. I can tell you the gospel, but the depths of that I can't go into. All I know is that in Christ Jesus, I'm his workmanship. He's making me into good works, but he's also making me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Next verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wrong reference, I think. I got a bunch, so I'm out of... let's go to Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And being found in him, not having our own righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in him. Next verse, Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In whom? In him. So it's somebody. In Jesus. In whom? In him we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. If you are in him, your sins are forgiven. If you're in him, you're redeemed. In him. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are in him resurrect. Those who are in him, even if they are dead, if even those who are already, those who are in him, it is a guaranteed resurrection in him. The goal is for you to treasure Jesus more and to be more aware of the reality of your spiritual environment. Your spiritual environment is not a place. It is a person named Jesus Christ. Okay? But if you go through this life as a believer and you're not aware that spiritually you reside in an environment that is the person of Christ, if you don't understand, if you're not aware of this knowledge, then you're not going to see it practically work in your life like it should. We're going to look at some more practical aspects of this in a minute. Where did we get to, Miss Brandy? Okay. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We can attest to the first part. We know that. If we're just in Adam, we die. This world, that those who reject Christ, they will live their life in Adam, in their sins, in condemnation, and they will die. But those who are in him are made made alive. Made alive. Let's keep going. Let's get more practical now, okay? That I just give you the list that was your soteriology, the regarding salvation, right? Regarding eternal life and salvation and redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and that goes all the way back before the foundation of the world, even until right now. That was the first list. This is the practical list, okay? This is practical. I say the truth in Christ. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He says, I'm speaking truth because I'm in Christ. I'm not lying. I'm in. If I wasn't in Christ, then expect a lie from me. But I'm in Him, so I speak the truth. And Holy Ghost is a sign to me to make sure that if I'm in Him, I only speak truth. That's good, ain't it? That's good. How many of you know Christians ain't supposed to lie? Are those who are in Him. In Him. To me is the better definition of who we are. We're in Him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Paul says, when he talks about why he says what he says and how he says what he says and the validity of what he says, he defines everything that rolls off his tongue as true and uncorrupt, true and sincere, not because Paul is good, not because Paul is disciplined, but because Paul is in Christ. Do you understand that Paul is the one saying, Paul had a I don't want to bore you with in Christ. I want you to understand that Paul had a revelation of his relationship with Jesus. And it defined and dictated everything he wrote. And what I want you to understand is God wants you to have the same revelation as Paul did, that you can't even speak or refer to God without it coming out of your mouth that I am in Christ Jesus. And because I'm in Him, I'm this and this and this. I do this. I say this. I speak this way. This is my fate. This is my outcome. This is where I come from. This is who I am. Everything about me, past, present, and future, everything that I feel, everything that I say, it is all defined by this: I'm in Christ. I'm in a person, not a place. My body is in this place. My spirit is in this one named Jesus. And Paul, he speaks a language. He speaks a language that is so foreign to us that we read over all this and we don't think twice about it. And I think God has said, no, you better think twice about it, because this is the reality of what it means to have relationship with Christ, to be in Him, hidden in Him. Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ. He glories in what he glories in. He rejoices in what he rejoices in because of who he is in. Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord. In the Lord. I used to just think that he was saying, I rejoiced because of the Lord. I thought that I rejoiced when he says in the Lord, that he's saying in like in the fact that he's good, maybe, or in the fact that he saved me, I rejoice in the fact. But I think he's saying I rejoiced in the Lord, because the atmosphere, if my atmosphere and environment is the person of Christ, there will always be rejoicing. And when you understand the context of how Paul writes and everything he says, every epistle he writes, he's talking about being in Him. And if he ain't talking about being in Christ, then secondarily he talks about being Christ in Him. But this is Paul's language. This is his writing. This is his revelation when it comes to Jesus. It ain't just somebody he believes in or has faith in or trusts in or loves. He says, I'm actually in Him. In Him. Let's go on. Philippians 4:13. I mean, do you see how this is building? He's starting off from just being saved. There's some grace in Jesus and redemption. Now he's saying, I can do all things through Christ. And through, it can also be translated in Christ. In Christ. Some about most of them, other than King James, will say in Christ. Let's keep going. These are real practical. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We work. Those who are in Him labors for Him. I wonder why the church is so lazy these days. They love to see and hear and feel, but they don't want to serve. We love to see something good, hear something good, and feel something good, but we don't want to work and labor and serve. I think it's because we are blinded to the truth of the revelation that we are in Him, or we're just not in Him. There's a lot of people in church that ain't saved, in other words. There's a lot of people in the church that's not in the Lord. A lot of people goes to the building called the church, but they're not in the Lord. Because He says, that's what He says, if you're in Him, you labor, you work, and it's not in vain. It's fruitful. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children who are in the Lord will obey their parents. Next verse. Colossians. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husband and wife relationships. Listen to me now. If you're in the Lord, if you're in Him, and you're walking in and working out that reality of that truth, then you're going to love your wife and you're going to love your husband. You're going to put each other first. That's the difference. That's the difference between the lost and the saved. You're either in Him or you're not in Him. And that's it. There's nowhere in between. But where you are would dictate and define how you are. Everything about you is defined by where you are, whether you're in Him or not in Him. Let's keep going. Let's read a few more. What's the next one I give you, Miss Brandy? Philippians 4:1. Okay. Yeah, that's right. You're right. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. There is strength in Him. He wouldn't tell you to be strong if they weren't in the Lord. But He knew if they're in Him, then there's strength and power in Him. What's the next one? Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. I want to tell you something. I don't care how many devils are coming against you, how many imps and demons. I don't care what army of darkness and what principalities and powers and governments, and I don't care what comes against, there is nothing that you can't stand fast and stand tall against when you're in Him. When you're in Him. 1 Thessalonians 3:8. He says it again. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Let's go to... Did I give you Romans 16:10? I don't think that's the wrong one. No, that's right. Approved in Christ. Approved in Christ. So Paul is telling them, he says, this guy right here, he's approved because he's in Christ. He's approved. What if we approved of people based off one thing and one thing alone, whether they are in Christ? Not by what they did 20 years ago, not by whether y'all get along or not or like the same things or not. What if approval was defined by one thing? You and I are both in Him. Didn't matter what social class you're in, what color your skin is, don't matter what you and I did, only thing that matters is, are you in Christ? Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He says, as you've received Christ, now walk in him. Walk. Carry out your life in him. You got saved. You didn't just get saved so you can go to heaven. You got saved so that you could walk out your life in him. And you'll be rooted and built up. Rooted and built up. Now, that means that's two different directions, right? Roots are going down and I'm being built up. And you just see the growth that takes place when you're in him. Look, you can't be in him and there not be some form of growth happening if you're in him. Let's keep going. We'll end with these. And this is all the same references. 1 John 2:28. Just going to end. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abideth in him, abide in him. 1 John 3:24. Dwelleth in him. And I love that John goes here. Because you go back to the Gospel of John and you get his account where they're sitting in there and Jesus starts giving this picture of this vine, right? And I've heard it said that on the temple was engraved a big vine, and that possibly Jesus was walking by and he takes from that and begins to teach the disciples. He says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in me. And he's teaching this relationship. Abide in me. Dwell in me. In me. In me. Because what's going to happen? Right now, he's with them. He's with them. They're following him. But he just got done telling them, if you're in John, he said, look, I'm about to go away and prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again. Right now, all you got to do is be with me. But the days are coming that I'm not going to be here with you. And what you're going to do then? You're going to abide in me. You're going to live out your life in this earth. Your body will be here, but you will be conscious of the spiritual reality that you are in me. And I will always be your greatest environment. I will always be the most influential factor in this life that you live, because you are in me, in me. And again, Paul, he describes it as this: if you're in him, you're a child of God. If you're in him, then you have put on Christ. Just a simple picture, put on Christ, that we're hidden in him, hidden in him. And you know how the world, I saw where somebody posted, it is beautiful, this little girl. They asked her, one of my friends, he said, I'm so proud of my little girl. They asked her, I think she's like 8, they said, how do you know that Jesus is real? How do you know? She said, because I see him in people. I see him in people. And that's exactly when we are in him, hidden in him, when we have put him on, that's how they're going to see. I think where the church has failed is the devil has tried to blind us from this simple reality and truth that when you put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what you thought you was doing. In reality, what was happening is God was tucking you away in his son. And this is something that God has been working out before the foundations of the world. And Paul, he uses the language over and over and over and over and over and over. Everything from theology and spiritual talk about salvation to how you treat your wife and how you obey your mama. and how being in Him affects how you speak, how you rejoice, what you glory in, how you treat your dad, how you treat your wife. It affects everything, every facet, every level, every layer of your life is defined by whether you are in Him or not in Him. Everybody on the planet, there's two groups, those that are in Him and those that ain't in Him. And it's as simple as that. And so when we see Paul use this, he's clearly sharing his revelation of his understanding of the relationship he has with Jesus Christ, so that the church would understand the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. We don't just walk hand in hand with Him. We certainly don't just worship Him from afar. We are in Him. If we're in Him, it's an atmosphere of blessings, grace, faith, love. Now that I'm seeing that he's saying faith is in Christ Jesus, do you understand that we talked Sunday about resources and how we can't define what we're going to do by the resources we see, right? They had five loaves and two fish. Jesus is like, oh, that's plenty. That's plenty. Just bring it on. You know? Oh, that's more than enough. Yeah, that's plenty. Well, how are we going to feed 15,000, right? Well, we got five. He said, oh, then that's plenty. Just that's more than we ever needed, right? Because Jesus is so resourceful, right? He owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. Yeah, you know. He upholds all things by the power of His word. It's His. He possesses us. Do you not know that you've been bought with a price? That your body's not your own, right? He is. And in Him is grace and faith and redemption and forgiveness and hope and joy and rejoicing and glory and the words that I will say that the words that I'm supposed to speak is found. It's in the atmosphere of Him. And that's where I live, is in Him. And my question to you and I is our relationship, do we define it by I abide in Him? And you know what? It's okay if the answer's no, that I've not been really aware of that. What's not okay is if we leave here unaware of that. I just feel like God is just tonight and through me quoting and letting it speak for itself, quoting 40-something verse. I don't know how many we did, but I know this. God is wanting us to understand the relationship we have with Him. We are in Christ Jesus. Next Wednesday, we're going to look at Christ in us. I don't know how much different that'll look at, but I know there's several references to that as well, but not near as many as us being in You ain't in a bad situation. You're in Him. You're not in a tough time. You're in Him, right? We're not in the midst of a big old mess and chaos. No, I'm in the perfect one. I'm in Him, right? That has to be the greatest influence in my life. And anything less than that, if you are in Him, is an insult on Him, because He is greater, right? Miss Brandy, you got a song. Let's just meditate and treasure this. Look, this is so. I just laid the groundwork, and this is what I know, that y'all are gonna take this. And you're going to spend time with the Lord, and God is going to build upon this principle and this truth, this reality about you and Him. God's going to build upon that as you're by yourself talking to Him and thinking about Him, whatever you're doing. God's going to build upon that and bring greater revelation to you about being in Him. And so let's just meditate for a minute and thank the Lord for this. Let's thank Him, and then let's pray for these needs. Let's pray for these needs. I have no doubt in my mind that all Paul's references to being in Christ or Christ in him, that it came from this discourse where Jesus says, abide in me, you abide in me, the Father and I will abide in you, right? Just from that statement, Paul begins to understand that we are in him, but also he is in us. And I think what happens is those who are in him, right? In him. I think that we learn the reality that we're in him. And that's a lot to learn. That's a lot to know. You'll never exhaust that truth, right? Of what it means to be in him. I mean, you've got Paul's writing from years, and he's gaining more and more revelation, more references to being in him. But at the same time, I think the more we realize we're in him, and then we realize the desire for him to be in us, right? And he is. But you just see this reciprocating relationship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Right? And if any man, let me just paraphrase, if any man will let me come in, I will commune. And so there's this reciprocating that I'm in him. And I learn what that means. And I learn more that I need to open myself up to him in me. And that's where the communion and the intimacy is. I know this. One day, if Jesus tarries, he's coming. One day, all your breaths, you will have no more in you. But even then, you're still in him. One day you will have no more heartbeats in you. And that's not going to be the biggest deciding factor, the defining factor. Even in that moment, the greatest influence is that you're in him. Is that you're in him. One day, my spirit won't be in this world. My body will be somewhere decomposing, but I will be in him. And if it is the greatest factor on your last day, then should it not be the greatest factor today? Right? That's what matters most on your last day. Then that's what matters most today.